acclaimed playwright, researcher, and writer Jane Harrison's latest offering, Becoming Kiralee Lewis, is a coming-of-age novel which falls under the young adult fiction category. Set in the mid-1980s, the work follows central character Kiralee Lewis during her first year of a law degree. Adopted into a white family as a young girl, a journey of discovery unfurls as her family history unfolds.
So I'm Jane Harrison. I'm an author of Becoming Kiralee Lewis, and I have Murawari heritage from northern New South Wales, although I've grown up in Victoria and lived here all my life.
First up, Jane, how was the recent Emerging Writers Festival? And that was the official launch of the novel Becoming Kiralee Lewis?
It was the official launch. It was a freezing Melbourne night. It was about 5 degrees, so it was only the diehards who were out at 9 o'clock at night for the launch. But we had some beautiful titters from the State Library of Queensland come down, Ellen Van Nieuwen and Yasmin Smith, and another lovely young woman, Hannah Donnelly, and they read a couple of pieces on the theme of daughters and mothers. So that was really nice. And then my daughters got up on stage with me and we read a chapter of the book. So it was a good, fun night.
It wasn't that long ago that you were talking to Away about the play The Visitors. And here's...
Yes.
And here's Becoming Kiralee Lewis. How many irons do you have in the fire at one time, Jane?
I have a few, however, I'm a really slow writer, and Kiralee, in fact, was begun when I was on maternity leave with my youngest daughter, who's now 16 and about a foot taller than me. So it's been a long time in the writing, but I'm really glad it's published now.
Tell us about the decision to pen your first novel. Why was now the right time?
Well, as I said, I did start it 16 years ago, so but it's only been in the last couple of years that I've really sort of put the hard yards in terms of finishing the book and sending it off to the State Library of Queensland for their prize. Look, it was an idea I'd always had in my mind for quite a long time. I did a lot of research in producing the play that I wrote called Stolen, about the Stolen Generations, and you know, that was an amazing time for me, and collecting and listening to so many stories, I thought I wanted to tell a different kind of story. It touches on the Stolen Generations, Kiralee, but that's not the essential story. It's really about a young Aboriginal girl adopted into a white family who goes to uni as a law student, and she becomes a little bit more politicised at university and decides to seek out her birth family. Yep. So it's the journey of that, her connecting back with her Aboriginal heritage.
Overall, your work, Jane, tell us about the Aboriginal perspective, which is prevalent in your output.
As a Aboriginal person myself, it's really important for me to use my writing skills, I suppose, to put the Aboriginal perspective into popular media, such as books and in plays. You know, plays are a little bit harder to access for most people. That's why I'm really thrilled to do a novel, because I think hopefully it'll be in schools and people can pass it around and share the story that way. So it's really important that I think Aboriginal perspectives and lived experiences are sort of on the page and on the stage and on the screen. And it's really great, the new sort of rush of TV shows on our small screens as well, because I think that's great. It's getting into lounge rooms. Aboriginal people can see their lives reflected and their humour, that kind of thing, reflected. But also non-Aboriginal people also get to access those stories, and I think there's a real hunger for those kind of stories.
Jane, tell us about Kiralee's Melbourne, because it's a bit of a beast. It's a bit of a beast compared to her humble beginnings.
Yeah, well, you know, she's 18. She's gone to the big smoke, and I remember that pretty well myself. I grew up in a sort of the outer suburbs, a beautiful area of Melbourne, but moved to sunny St Kilda when I was 18. So, you know, your whole world opens up, and it's scary at first, but it's also exhilarating. And I hope I've sort of captured a little bit of that.
Here I was, Kiralee Lewis, through a pair of ornate wrought iron gates, was one of the oldest universities in the country. Our paths had just intersected. It was the 10th of March 1985, and I, Little Black Duck, was about to step through these gates to embark on a law degree. I tried to burn the moment into my brain. I could almost smell the history of the place. I walked through the gates, and my reverie was broken. It was like a market at closing time. Music boomed through loudspeakers. Brightly clothed students clustered in groups of twos and threes, laughing and chatting. Dozens of university clubs were spruiking, brandishing show bags and tempting students with their offers. Join the debating club, the denominators, and learn how to win every argument, even with your parents. Essential for all law students. Calling for all caffeine addicts. Join the chocolates for all things coffee and chocolate. Try chocolate-covered ant. The Trekkies Club for Star Trek fans. We are the club to join. Resistance is futile.
The book is set in 1985, and also when it goes back to the mother's perspective, Cherie, it goes back to 1967 in some flashbacks. But, you know, that era, you know, I was in my 20s in that time, so it was really fun to recreate that, all the colour and pop culture of that era.
You've mentioned Cherie there. Tell us about the decision to include her narrative.
The first, I suppose, third of the book or half of the book is Kiralee's journey up to the point where she goes to try and get a sneak look at the woman who she thinks is her mother. And a bit of an impulsive sort of act on her behalf, and things are not what she expects. So it's a big shock to both her and her mother. And I thought at that point it's really nice to go back to Cherie's perspective and work out why she relinquished her daughter 18 years back and sort of go back to that 67 era where I think things were, you know, much tougher also for a woman to have a child out of wedlock. I don't want to give the whole plot away, but, you know, it was a different era then, and things weren't quite as acceptable for Cherie and the family that she was brought up in. So I thought that was sort of nice to set the context for why Kiralee was given up for adoption. And then later on in the book, when Kiralee gets to meet her birth father, it goes back to her perspective. We end the book on that note.
Kiralee's a university student, but her education is far from academic throughout.
Yeah, there's a line in the book where her father says to the mother, she knows nothing, and Kiralee's really quite upset about this because she thinks she knows quite a lot. She's a law student and she's, you know, got good marks at school to get into law. But as her dad says, it's all book learning, not in here, in her heart. So I think she's got to learn, you know, she sort of gets the edges knocked off her in some of the experiences that she has at uni and the people she meets. And, you know, I think when you are 18, you're pretty strong in your opinions and you think you know quite a lot about the world, but then you're also pretty pliable. You know, life does have a way of sort of seeping into your, you know, experiences and changing them and changing your perspective. So that's her journey, I think.
My appointment at Koori Family Connect was at 9 a.m. I was whisked in to meet Rosie. Her face was as soft as risen dough, but she pulled no punches. My preliminary search of our records, from what you told me over the phone, didn't throw up anyone who was likely to be your biological parent. It may be that they haven't been willing to be in contact with you. She could have let me down more gently, I thought. Of course there are gaps in our records. It was probably a closed adoption, as most were at that time. That means your original birth certificate with the names of your biological parents was sealed. You might also have been born in another state and brought to Victoria so your parents could be looking for you in your home state. There are many scenarios in the area of family separation. It's seldom straightforward. And I don't want you to have false expectations, or you may be hugely disappointed. So Some people build up a picture of their birth parents and they get a real shock when the reality doesn't match up their expectations. I don't have any expectations, I replied.
That journey, dear Kiralee, you know, the discoveries are enough to overwhelm a person.
Be it
the academic or the big city life or even the personal stuff, just that awakening.
Yeah. And look, I think being a young Aboriginal girl who's a little bit naive about community and in growing up in a white family as well, I think she can ask those kind of naive questions, those dumb questions that, you know, she can get away with it. The things she doesn't know would fill a book, and in fact they have.
Who is Kiralee's story for? You know, as a 36-year-old male, it's not a novel I'd reach for on the bookshelf, but I enjoyed the journey, you know, and I could appreciate Kiralee's twists and turns.
Oh, great. Thanks for saying that. Well, surprisingly, my daughter's friends, who are 19-year-old, one of them's a 19-year-old boy, he read it and he loved it. And so, yes, I am hoping it's pitched as a young adult novel. So I'm hoping that, you know, 14-year-olds upwards will read it and learn a little bit about our shared history. So predominantly, of course, I'd love Aboriginal readers to read it, but also young people in general. But I think it's also got a wider appeal in, you know, I'm in my, dare I say my age, but I'm in my 50s, and I think sure. There's a lot of nostalgia there. So a lot of my people of my age are enjoying sort of going back into the 80s and reading about that era as well. And laughing over some of the things we wore and some of the things we did. So hopefully it has quite broad appeal.
The Black and Right Initiative, could you tell us the part they played with regards to the novel, and if you could touch on being the Black and Right Prize winner last year?
Yeah. So Black and Right, if it wasn't for Black and Right, it wouldn't be published. So I'm extremely grateful to them. As I said, I started the book a long time ago, and I'd always, every couple of years, I'd send it off to someone to get some feedback, or I'd try and pitch it to a publisher. And I didn't get a lot of response. But I always, you know, had a belief in the story that it was worth telling. And so when I heard about the Black and Right Prize, the year before last, actually, I sent it off. It didn't win, but they were really encouraging and they said, do some more work on it. It's not ready yet. Submit it next year. Well, as a writer, we need deadlines. So that was a really great incentive for me to work on the book a little bit more and send it off to the Black and Right Prize, and I was so thrilled when I won it. I remember taking the phone call in a park and leaping up and in the air. People around me must have thought I was mad, but it was very exciting. And then the opportunity to work with Black and Right around the editing and shaping of the book, and then at going across to Magabala and knowing that it was going to be published and working with them as well. Yeah, it's been a wonderful experience.
There are, you've mentioned that there's parallels between yourself and Kiralee. Is this your most personal work to date?
Look, I don't want to give away too many stories, but look, both Kiralee and Cherie's lives, I think as a writer, you write to make sense of your own life and experiences. And so there is a lot of me in both the Kiralee character, but also the Cherie character, some of her experiences, and even a little bit of Charlie. And as well as that, the experiences of friends and colleagues and my mum and other people have sort of been seeded throughout the book.
The reader is incredibly intimate with Kiralee throughout this journey. Is there something you can tell us about Kiralee that we don't know?
Well, maybe some of that will be revealed when I get to write the sequel.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm hoping to do.
Sure.
And I think towards the end of the book, I hint that Charlie has a set of diaries about his experience, and if I do get to write the sequel, I'd like to delve more into his experiences as well. But maybe fast forward 20 years and Kiralee's a mother as well. Maybe it's about her experience with her child.
I'm glad you mentioned the sequel. I'm glad you mentioned the sequel because, you know, the end is more like... I don't want to give away too much, but...
No.
It's a beginning of sorts. Is that giving away too much? Should I even say that?
Well, you know, it's hard to talk about the story without revealing some of the twists in the plot.
Yep.
You know, hopefully readers get to be surprised that things aren't, all, you know, exactly what they expect in the book. I think I'd like to write a sequel, and I think I'd like to delve more into her growing up and finding her place in the community and, you know, what she contributes to back to the Aboriginal community now. She's decided to be a strong, you know, card-carrying Koori.
16 years in the making, you've had the launch. The book is out there. How are you feeling, Jane?
I'm really thrilled and humbled and, you know, just... I'm getting some response back from people who've read the book and they enjoyed it and they were moved, so that's great. Yeah, I just hope it gets readership. I hope it gets put on a syllabus so that young people and not so young get some access to these kind of stories. Just one of the things, Rico, I try to do in my writing is... upturn stereotypes. So I hope in the book that I've done that. You know, the fact that Kiralee is quite a conservative young girl at the start of the book and her parents are probably a little bit radical, I had fun with that. And throughout the book, I hope some of those idiosyncratic characters mess with readers' heads a bit and upturn some of those stereotypes we might have.
That's writer Jane Harrison, author of the young adult fiction novel Becoming Kiralee Lewis. The work won the Black and Right Indigenous Writing Fellowship in 2014, and it's now available through Magabala Books.